Seder Vayeshev is the mitzvah of escorting people, come to visit you or whatever. There's a mitzvah to feed them, to give them hospitality. There's also a mitzvah to escort them out. Okay? Some people think that's the main mitzvah, get rid of these people as fast as you can. But that, it means escorting them out when they want to leave. Okay? Not before. Okay? And it is the biggest part of Hachnasas Arkham, we'll see. Now, what does it have to do with Parshas Vayeshev? It says that the last thing that Yaakov and Yosef were learning was the parsha of Eglah Arufa. Yosef reminded his father of that. I still remember the last Torah we spoke together. The Balei HaTosfos say, how do we know that? He said, because what happened, when Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm sending you, go see what's doing with the brothers. So he sent him. The halacha is that when you send somebody, you have to escort them. So Yaakov started to escort Yosef out. Now, if you were Yosef, what would you say to your father? Don't bother. It's okay. Not important. Right? I know the way. Right? To which Yaakov would have said, no, it's very important. And Yosef would say, how do you know that? So, because we learn from the parasha of Eglah Arufa. Because it says that when you find somebody murdered, you don't know who the murderer is, so you bring an Eglah, a young calf, and you behead it, and the Kohanim and Leviim and the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din of that city, wash their hands over the calf, and they say, our hands didn't spill this blood. So the Gemara says, do we think that the people in the Beis Din killed the guy? Right? They're the murderers? But it means we didn't know of his being in our city, and we didn't provide him with an escort out of the city. And it's therefore, if you don't provide an escort, it's like you killed the person. We'll see in 1 second how that works. How does the escort help? We're not talking about an armed guard that goes with the guy wherever he is. We're talking about escorting him out of the city. How does that help to protect him? He wasn't killed, you know, when he left the city. He was killed somewhere on the road. So that we'll get to in a second. So in any case, therefore, when Yosef sent the agolos, he sent the wagons for his family, he also escorted his brothers. And he also told them, this is the last thing I was learning with my father, how important it is to escort people. Go tell him, remind him that that's what we were learning. Okay, so that's what it has to do with.
So that's
kilu
protection?
Oh, we'll see. That's what we're going to talk about.
Didn't he have an
agala? No. Yeah, no. So in agala, but as they went out of the city, he escorted them. Not escorted them by foot. He went on a horse, whatever. I escorted them out. Right? Like you can have an escort with cars, too. Right? Escort a guest with a motorcade. Okay, now, the Gemara says that, and the Rambam brings these things down, some of the halachas, that escorting a guest is greater than the hospitality you give the guest. Because it really, we're talking about now the guests that are traveling from city to city in dangerous places. So escorting him offers him a certain kind of protection. We'll see how that works in a second. In the city, you have to escort the person a minimum of 4 amas, about 7.5 feet. That's it, out of your house. You're in the city, it's not really a dangerous place. That's as much you have to do. A Rav to a Talmud, where there's a closer relationship, the Rebbe escorting his Talmud until the end of the city. Till the end of the city. A Chaver to a Chaver, till Tchum Shabbos, a little bit more. You have to escort him till the 2,000 amas outside the city, when he's really now in no man's land. And a Talmud to a Rav till a Parsa. Parsa is 4 milim. And a Rav Omufik is Gimel Parsos. 3 Parsos. Quite a few miles. Now the Darkei Moshe in Choshen Mishpat says we are not accustomed to do that today. Because first of all, most people are mochel. They don't care. They say, you know, I'm not interested in you escorting me outside the city or whatever. And also I saw that today, it says in the time of Chazal, most of the roads were dangerous. There were highwaymen, all kinds of things. Today, there are maybe places that are dangerous, but most places are not dangerous. In the city, for sure, not a special danger. Even the roads, except for traffic accidents, are not danger, that kind of danger, that escorting the person is going to help. And therefore, we don't have these halacha. However, the halacha of escorting him at least 4 amas does apply. So somebody comes to your house, you can't just let them leave. You have to walk with them outside the house at least 7 feet to escort them out. Okay. And the halacha is that if a person doesn't want to do this, Beis Din have the power to force him to do it, to escort a person. And if the person doesn't want to do it, and there's a person who has nobody to escort him, It's the responsibility of the Beis Din, of the city, to supply escorts for people who are traveling, at least in the initial leaving the city. And therefore, whoever doesn't escort somebody is like he's spilling his blood. He's putting him in danger, in mortal danger, which we learn from the Egla Rufa. And it says that there's no limit to the reward that one gets for this escorting, in not only in Olam Haba, even in Olam Hazeh. In this world too, the reward is without limit. Most mitzvahs, or all mitzvahs, the reward is without limit in the world to come. This mitzvah is a reward that has no limit in this world. And a person who has nobody escorting him, so what should he do? Learn some Torah. Torah also gives that protection. And however, you're not allowed to be malave a person who is a kofer, an apikoris, or whatever, that kind of person, you're not required to escort, and not even allowed to escort, not allowed to be in his company. Okay, those are some of the halachas. Now let's see the idea behind it. The Zohar HaKadosh says that by escorting somebody, the main question over here is, we're not talking about giving the guy an armed guard till where he's going. So how does it protect him? As soon as you leave him, he's just as bad off as he was, right, before you started escorting him. So how does this escort protect him beyond where you're with him? She says, the Zohar says, the fact that you escort a person is mamshich the shchina, it brings God's presence in that place. The fact that one human being escorts another human being, and we'll see some of the ideas behind that, but the Zohar says, bottom line, that's what it accomplishes. It accomplishes that God's presence goes with that person because you went with that person. And therefore, it says, that, let's say, therefore the Zohar says that HaShkodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram right after he escorted the angels towards Sodom. Why? Because God's presence devolved on a place where people escort people. It says, Al Pnei Sodom, they looked towards Sodom, Avram was escorting the angels, right? And then he left them, and then God appeared to him. The words Al Pnei Sodom, the last letters spell meal, and if you rearrange the order. A meal is the amount that you have to escort a regular person outside the city. So it hints to this idea of escorting a meal. And it says, L'shalchom v'Hashem, Omar, right after that. The word L'shalchom and v'Hashem are put together, which means if you escort somebody and send them off, give them a send-off, then God is with you. And God's with you and with them. Now the Maral explains a little bit more rationally, not really rationally, but a little bit more that we can understand how it works. Just because you escort somebody, how does that bring God's presence on the person and go beyond what you are? Maral says like this. A person, we're talking about a person who's leaving the Yishuv and going into unsettled areas that are extremely dangerous because of animals, robbers, murderers, pirates, right? All different kinds of dangers that exist in uninhabited places. Again, that's another reason why today most of the places people travel are inhabited somewhere. They're not uninhabited, not going through the jungle. Maybe in the Amazon, they'd have to make the regular, what Chazal said, the amounts of how far you have to go. But where we live, for the most part, most places are inhabited. You're not talking about going into uninhabited places, which the Gemara says, any place that Adam HaRishon didn't say, this place one day will be inhabited, never was inhabited. It remains totally uninhabited. Now, in the place that's uninhabited, that's the place where people don't have control, but mazikim, spiritual evil forces, have control there. And also, the person's alone there, and he's separated from civilization, and therefore he is very vulnerable. A loner, a person alone who doesn't have a connection to the tzibur, doesn't have a connection to the community, he's all alone, separated from civilization. And he's in a place where the mazikim are around because there's no civilization there which chases the mazikim away. Mazikim love to live in uninhabited, wild places. Therefore, by escorting this person, you are connecting to him. And because of that, the Shekhinah also connects with him and goes with him. And also, says the Maral, you're showing honor to a human being, a Tzelem Elokim. Because you show honor to God's image, God shows honor also. He's also there. So you're showing, what's it called? And therefore, it's like you're spilling his blood if you don't escort him, not only because of what the danger to him is, but if you don't appreciate Tzelem Elokim, God's image in a person and you deal with it capriciously, then it's like you're taking the whole worth of that person away. That's like killing. So that's also called Shvichas Dam. And therefore, says the Maral, that it causes extra spiritual protection for that person, even after you leave. What you've created is an honor for that person, an honor for the fact that he's a Tzelem Elokim, which brings God's presence. You've connected into him, that he's not alone anymore, but you're going with him mentally at least, because you started walking with him. So you initiated the road in a way that he's not alone, and a person's not alone, connected to the Tzibur, also has God's presence with him. And that's why there's no limit to the reward, because there's no limit to the shmirah, to the protection the person gets. Here he has God's direct protection. That's something that has no limitations. Every other mitzvah has limitations what you do the mitzvah. Therefore, it has limitations in the reward. But here, the reward is commensurate to the mitzvah itself, which has no limit to it. Another idea is it gives the person, like we said, koach harabim. He's not a loner anymore. He's connected to the tzibur. He's connected to the community. And the schus of the community, right, he's protected. According to all of that, you can understand why a person who doesn't have this should learn Torah. Torah gives kavod to the human being, because he's a tzelem elokim. He can learn God's Torah and connect to God's Torah. Torah brings the shechinah by you. And by learning Torah, you're connecting into all Jewish people, because the Torah unites all Jews. So all the benefits of having an escort are compensated for in learning Torah. Also, I was thinking that, you know, there's another levaya. Halvayas hanes, right? A levaya. So on the surface, you would think they're two different things. I mean, escorting a living person as protection is one thing. Escorting a dead body is... But according to all these reasons, it fits perfectly. A person who is no longer alive is separated from the yishuv. He's no longer part of civilization, okay? Because his neshama is off somewhere else and his body is totally disconnected. And he's going to a place where there are mazikim. There's all kinds of spiritual forces that can harm the person's neshama until he gets to where he's going. And therefore, by making a levaya and escorting this body, you're showing the honor to what was a Tzelem Elokim, what possessed the neshama, your honor to the person. And you're also connecting into him to give him the feeling that he's not alone anymore, but he's still connected to the community. And what's it called? You're bringing God's presence on that body. So it has all the same ideas of escorting a living person applied to Halvayas HaMeis. It's mamash the same idea. One second, I'm almost finished. Let's go away from the esoteric. There's a simple idea also. We'll end with that. Simple idea why escorting a person will protect him even when you stop escorting him. Because if people see that people care about this person, right? He has people who are concerned, then they're more afraid to attack a person who has people who may investigate, who may take revenge, than a person who's totally alone, where they don't think he has anybody who's concerned about him. Killing a person like that, there won't be any investigation, nobody's going to follow it up. They feel much safer of not being exposed to killing a person who is, or harming a person who's totally alone, than a person who has people who are concerned about him. I learned that lesson visiting people in the hospital in Miami. Right, people who had family that would come in regularly, so I saw the doctors and nurses paid much more attention to them. Because they were always afraid that maybe the family was going to come and they'd see they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But people who had no family, there are a lot of people who retired in Miami and they had no family, nobody visited them, maybe they never had friends, they were loners. Those kind of people, I noticed that they were not given the best service because nobody would notice. Right? Who could they tell? So I made it my business sometimes to dafka visit those people as if I knew them. So the doctors and nurses would think that, you know, that there's somebody that I'm keeping an eye on, and they would have the feeling that they better give them good service too, because somebody may complain, somebody may see what's going on.
The fear
of God. Right. Right, I hear. But it could be that there has to be also a hishtaglus in the physical world too. Right? The two angels are very nice, but you need, when it comes to protection, you need to do something physical also. And that helps the spiritual. Yeah. I just want to think, it could be that not everybody has two angels with them.
No.
Only people who deserve it. I'll tell you where I know that from. There was a special tefillah you said before you went into the bathroom. Not after, not the bracha asher yatzar, but you said to the angels who were escorting you, wait here, I'll be back. Okay? It's a little tefillah. So we don't say that today. You never heard of it, right? Why don't we say it? Because not everybody's on the level to have these angels. It would be tremendously haughty to think that you have two angels escorting you wherever you are. You tell them to wait, you know, while going to the bathroom, stay here, right? Would imply that you know for sure you have those angels. So it seems from there that since we don't say it, that not everybody has these angels, and only special people have those two angels protecting them. Shabbos is a different story. Shabbos, they come home with you, now it's protection, stop, to see what's going on in your house. Yeah.
You mess with somebody else, let's say, outside your house, so on. If then you leave them, you come back by yourself. Now, you're all alone, so getting back home, you're in danger.
So that's why you don't really have to escort the person, except for a Rebbe, right, beyond the city. Till Tchum Shabbos, which is still part of the city. But, right, okay, that's Eichanami. So then, maybe you have to take two people. Or if it's people, then you're surely not chayiv to do that. You're not chayiv to put yourself in danger of your life to help somebody else. Right, you come first. But it's talking where you're escorting the person is not that dangerous. The danger starts after the city, after Tchum Shabbos, after you get out of the... Spiritually, he's now connected. Right? You don't have to travel. You don't have to go everywhere your guests go. You don't have to go over there. Right? The guest is going to Miami, and you're in New York. You don't have to go to Miami.
When God helps him, and the way if he left him, does he also come and help you to get back home?
I would assume. It doesn't say that, but I would assume that that's part of the thing. Yeah, I would assume that's the thing. Yeah. A casual visitor. Again, it really applies to people who are traveling from city to city in dangerous places. Today, it applies even to a casual visitor, to the point where you should escort them 4 amas out of your apartment, out of your house, whatever it is. Just don't just reach them to the door, another 7 feet. Yeah, it's not only symbolic, it has an effect. But it's not necessarily right. It's 7 feet. It's, again, you've connected in. You've given the person the honor. Those ideas still apply.
Does that apply also to children who come in and out, like even if they're
No, it only applies to guests. Children who come in and out are not guests. They're
but
just intruders. What? No, your own children aren't guests, right? I tell some of my kids once I go to the yeshiva, they're guests in my house, but my wife. Immediately doesn't only correct me but scowls that my children are not guests in my house. In any case, it's true because I don't support guests. Yeah?
According to what you said then, Yaakov was sure that nothing happened to Yosef.
Ah, yes. Good question. 1 second. I forgot to say that. So what happened to Yosef? Yaakov escorted him. Why was he damaged? Because Yaakov sent him to Shechem, thinking the brothers were there. So his escorting helped for that trip. But Yosef got to Shechem and he didn't find his brothers. So he asked, at that point he should have come home. But he didn't. He went on a new journey to find them where they were. That new journey, he had nobody escorting him. And that's why he was damaged. Yeah, it was a new journey. Yaakov sent him to Shechem. Once he got to Shechem, that was the end of Yaakov's... Yeah, no. Says the, what's it called? Yaakov told them to find them in Shechem. And there's different halachas. If a person tells somebody, go give my wife a get in this place. I understand that. But Yaakov's intention was that he should go to Shechem and that's it. If he didn't, they weren't in Shechem, he was putter from Yaakov's command, he should have come home. You didn't tell me to go look for them all around. You told me to go to Shechem and see them. Yeah, because if somebody tells you to do something and he specifies a place, we are concerned that maybe he meant only that place. Now, Yaakov again, maybe he didn't want Yosef to take any risks. If they're in Shechem, I feel comfortable that they're this big city, whatever. If they're in a small place, I'm afraid of what they'll do to you. In Shechem, maybe they wouldn't do anything. Shechem is a very, you know, safe place. Yes and no, but it could be that, no, in Shechem, they also were afraid of Jews. Right, they already knew what Jews can do. Right, a small little, and besides, we're not talking about the goyim, He was afraid of what the brothers would do to him. In Shechem, maybe they would not want to kill their brother. They already did one terrible thing in Shechem, made a chilul Hashem, not in the second one. But in a little place like Dothan, nobody's watching, then the brothers would do something.
That was a good deed, according to Rambam. The Rambam.
The what?
According to Rambam, Maaseh Shechem was a good deed.
It wasn't a good deed. It was sanctioned, but Yaakov still said they shouldn't have done it. Yaakov still made the final pronouncement that it wasn't the proper thing to do. Okay. There was justified, but it wasn't sanctioned. Okay.